Right now, it's our weekly visit from the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, Mr. John Laser, who is brought to you by Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. And as a lifelong Minnesota Viking fan, I'm sure you have both the good and the bad to contribute to the most stunning finishes of games.
Oh, absolutely. Minneapolis Miracle comes to mind just a couple of years ago. The missed field goal, which was basically a chip shot against the Seahawks. Gary Anderson's miss back in 98. Most of these are negative. But when you were just saying that, the first thing that came to my mind was the kick six and the Iron Bowl. Yep. And I was excited about it, even though I hate both of those teams because I lived in that area and I never, when I left, wanted either of them to win again. And then they combined to win the next four national championships.
As a play-by-play man and a professional that you are, how great was Vern Lundquist's call on the kick six? Where he just, and you know TV's different than radio, but I always thought it was so great the way Uncle Vern just let that moment breathe.
No doubt. He's absolutely one of the best that's ever done it. And I actually, when I think of Vern, I think a lot of times of his golf calls, you know, Golden Bear in 86, maybe. Yes, sir. And Tigers chip in at 16 at Augusta when it's just rolling in your life.
In your life.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's the standard man for sure. And I got to meet him at the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, and he's just a fantastic guy. So, yeah, absolutely. He nailed it for sure.
Can you think of the craziest finish you ever called, whether it be baseball, basketball, or football?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was one of the first big play-by-play opportunities I ever had. I was given the opportunity to call the Minnesota Prep Bowl, which is the high school state championship game, and played at the old Metrodome in Minneapolis. And it was a big opportunity for me because it was on KFAN, which is where I'd started as an intern. And even at the time, was just a part-time guy. That's the station for the Vikings. And at the time, the Timberwolves and whatever else. And the game came down to one team scoring a touchdown. It could have tied it with an extra point. They went for two to seemingly seal the victory with about 15 seconds left. The other team took the kickoff out to about the 40, and they were trying to throw it into field goal range on the last play, and it was a tip drill over to the near sideline, and the ball just hung up there, and this guy grabbed it. Micah Kane, I can still remember his name, and just sprinted untouched down the sideline to score a winning touchdown for Totino Grace, and he somersaulted into the end zone, and it was still, after all these years, the most dramatic ending I have ever called.
True to form. Play-by-play man does not miss a detail, does not miss a beat. He's John Laser, and he is brought to you by Cowan Gates. There for you in any case. Send over your most stunning finishes on Twitter at YoWest910TheFan. We'll get to football here in a second, but as far as basketball, no stunning finishes last night. The Hokies pull away in Syracuse. And let me circle back. I'm listening to you guys in the second half of the Virginia Tech game Saturday, and you were talking to Mike about how Saturday's loss had to be a learning experience, how they had to grow from this. And, Lays, it looked like in the second half last night, that looked like lesson applied by the Hokies.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. And I'd also say when you're playing six freshmen like the Hokies do, and they really don't even play the only senior on their roster, you're going to have some variance. You're going to have some nights where that confidence dips, or afternoons in that case. And I thought it was just a culmination of a number of things that give Tony Bennett and Virginia a lot of credit. They exploited in that game. But what I meant by that was you really, maybe save for Cameron Indoor, not going to go into a more hostile place than JPJ. And you're really never going to face a defense that is as stifling as that Virginia defense. So you take it out and you go, okay, you know, I've seen what the absolute hardest is, and we didn't handle it very well. So that's the standard that we've got to get back to and work against. And you're right. There were some times in that Syracuse game where it looked like the Hokies were going to get run out of the Carrier Dome and really responded well, hit a big shot here or made a defensive stop there and then got rolling and showed some of their firepower. So it's not as though they came back to Blacksburg after getting blasted in Charlottesville and figured everything out. You know, they could go out and be uneven in their performance against NC State. But game by game and practice by practice, and I know it's all cliche, but it's certainly true. This is an extremely young basketball team, and they've got to take everything as a learning experience, Wes. Even as bad as they were offensively in the first half last night against Syracuse, they've got to learn from that too, not just the fact that they were able to win the game.
This is a team, as you noted, that most of us are still getting to know. Most Hokie fans are still getting to know. Well, can you tell us about Jalen Cohn and what you saw from him last night?
Yeah, we knew he had electric scoring capability. I don't think he's going to shoot 56% from three for his career, but right now he's really stroking it with confidence, and he's got an exceptional and elite vertical leap, and that makes up for the fact that they list him at 5'10", but he's probably closer to 5'7", 5'8". That lifts him off the floor and allows him to shoot over bigger defenders, and he gets off the floor like a spring very quickly. So, you know, he's got that quick twitch. He's got that glide speed that Buzz Williams used to talk about, and he's elite in that category. We'd see a lot more of him, I think, if his comprehension and his physical ability on the defensive end were there. And I shouldn't say ability, his physical strength on the defensive end, because obviously he gets bullied a little bit on the end of the floor. And when you're not 100% confident in what you're doing within the defensive system, that makes you at times a guy that you can't have on the floor. But he is certainly capable of exploding, not just with a jump shot against some other teams, not the zone that you saw last night. He'll be able to get to the bucket. He'll be able to drive and distribute. He's probably, I would say, right now out of this freshman class, and I don't think I'm reaching too far here, he's easily the most offensively gifted player and athletically gifted player. Outside of that, he's going to be a big wattage personality. You know, he's that little guy that everyone loves to root for, but he's got a big personality, quick smile, quick quote. I was making fun of him about an hour ago up here in the weight room saying, there he is, the media darling, man. ACC Network just couldn't get you off last night. And he just smiled. And he's like, did I do all right? So great kid, basically.
He's John Lazer, voice of the Hokies, and as we get to know more of these Hokies on the basketball court, we're quickly learning this is not the team that's going to finish second to last in the ACC like many projected. While we're also learning new names, what can you tell us about the new Hokies D-line coach that was officially introduced today?
Well, it seems to be drawing high praise from those in football circles, and a lot of Bills fans chiming in with what a great hire it was. And I like it. You know, from what I've heard, he's an extremely intense guy in a positive way. He's already been walking up and down the halls and whipping people up at the Merriman Center up here in Blacksburg. So I avoided that building because I was pretty tired after my 3 a.m. arrival back in Blacksburg this morning. Well, you combine him with Daryl Tapp, and I think that's the theme that you see, particularly on the defensive side. Younger, with a lot of enthusiasm. Of course, that benefits you on the practice field and on the sideline, but it also exceptionally can benefit you on the recruiting trail when you also pair that with NFL experience. And I think you kind of hit the trifecta there with the hiring, because he does have experience all the way back at the beginning of his career with Justin Fuente, so it's not a foreign entity to bring his personality into the mix. So at this point, everybody seems to love the hire. I've yet to meet him. He followed me on Twitter, I guess, because he has Minnesota ties of some sort, so Pete Morris pointed him in that direction, and I'm eager to do so.
Bill Tierlink is his name, comes over from Buffalo. Do you remember his pop? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
I do remember. I remember his dad. Yeah, his dad was on the Colts sidelines. He always had the coach's coach shorts. He had like the compression socks. Like, he was one of those true assistant coaches that always stood out. But that's a family lineage, and there's some good reputation there. And as you said, there's a good mix of new, veteran, fresh, young faces on that defensive side. It's going to be interesting to see how they mix. And we'll put up along with Lazer's podcast. Found a really good interview with him from NFL Films and BuffaloBills.com. We'll throw it up in the podcast along with John Lazer, the voice of the Hokies. Thank you, buddy. Have a good rest of your week, my friend.
You too.
You can find him at LazVT on Twitter. John Lazer with us each and every Wednesday, brought to you by Cowan Gates. There for you in any case. Comes highly recommended from Sean McDermott. And Laze said that goes back to the early years him and Fuente used to coach together. But Bill Tierlink, get to know the name. And yes, I do remember his pop. And I'm telling you, if you go just pull it up on Twitter, John Tierlink, you look at the picture and go, I remember that guy. I remember that Colts coach.